Appreciate that good singing this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Bump me up just a little bit up there if you would, brother. Take the Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 6. And appreciate that good singing, guys. That was wonderful.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter number 6. We started back in January preaching through the book of Proverbs. Wednesday night, we were in Proverbs chapter number 6, and we talked about the ant, that little bitty creature that gets so much done. You may have the idea sometimes that who am I? What can God do with me? He can use a little bitty ant to aggravate an entire family of people. How many times does something that big make you gripe that big? Then you can't kill it. It ain't going away. I mean, boy, I'm telling you, there's something about it. Anyway, we talked about the ant on Wednesday night. And I told you Wednesday night, if you were here, that there was more in Proverbs chapter 6. I've just been preaching one message out of each chapter of Proverbs. And this one I just could not get by. There's actually two more messages in Proverbs chapter number 6 that I feel like sometime through this series I will have to address. Something happened to me this week in New York, and I want to share it with you. The Manarese family, which we've come to love and appreciate, and they got up to sing. Brother Freddie, they sang a song that I've never heard. Brand new song, first time I ever heard it. And as they sang that song, it began to arrest my heart and my spirit. It had my undivided attention. And I thought about this. I thought, Lord, why did that song grab a hold of me the way it did? And the Holy Spirit said, well, number one, it was new. Never heard it before. Number two, it spoke to your need. But I was thinking about it. The biggest thing about it, a lot of the songs speak to my need. But so many of them, Brother Freddie, I've heard over and over and over and over and over.
Right.
Kind of like Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Yeah. Was blind, but now I see.
Exactly.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory.
Yeah.
Come on, we've heard them over and over and over.
Yeah.
And once they're committed to our memory, they just kind of become old hat. And as they're sung, we'll give them lip service. I was watching as the ladies were singing, I Believe God, and I looked out across the congregation, and everybody was, I don't know if you were singing, but you were at least lip syncing to it. Maybe it was on your lips, but what about your heart?
Amen.
Thought about a lot of us. You may be like me. I've been in church basically all my life. I didn't get saved until I was 19. But there's probably not a subject in this book that I have never heard preached on. Would that be fair to say? Probably not a subject. Now, there are sermons that, and people pull things out that I've never seen before. Thank God for that. It's a never-ending book. It just keeps going. But if we're not careful, we'll take some scripture that we've heard and heard and heard, just like Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
And we'll give it lip service.
Right.
It's all up here, but it never finds its way here.
Right.
So this morning, whether you've been saved a week or a year or 20 years, I want you to listen to the scripture this morning like you have never heard it before. And I'm just going to tell you, before I read, as I start reading the very first verse, you're going to cut God off. I'm just telling you what your mind and your flesh is going to do. When I start reading the scripture this morning, you're going to go, because society and this world has conditioned you to think that way. Are we okay this morning? Somebody said you only had one special. That's unusual. I look short on singing, long on preaching this morning.
Bless me.
Proverbs chapter number 6. verse number 16. Pay very close attention to your Bible like you have never heard it before. The Bible said, these six things doth the Lord, say the word with me.
Hey.
That's a strong word. We say it casually every day. I hate this. I hate that. I was in New York this week. Somebody said something about they're glad there's no snow. I said, I hate snow.
Amen.
I hate it.
Amen.
Now, do I really hate it? No. It's just something I don't enjoy or favor. Doesn't mean I hate is a stronger word than that.
Right.
When I go to New York, they do not have sweet tea.
Amen.
You order sweet tea, they bring you unsweet tea and a pack of sugar. You can't melt sugar in ice. And I'll say, I hate it. Do I really hate it? No, I just don't prefer it. But hate is a lot stronger than that. The Bible said there are six things that the Lord hates. And he said, yea, seven are abomination unto it. Now listen to me. I want the blessing of God. Somebody help me.
Yes.
I want the favor of God.
Amen.
Now, if there is something that could be in my life that God hates or abhors, I'm interested in knowing what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
My wife's sitting right over there. I love her with all my heart. And we've been married 33 years. I know what she hates. And I do my best to avoid those things that she hates. One involves the toilet seat. I won't go any further than that. But now and then I'll catch myself and go, oh, she hates that. So I try to avoid that which she hates. How many of you husbands know exactly some things your wife hates? And you would rather have peace, so you avoid those things that she hates. Somebody said, you're just henpecked. No, I'm not stupid. I may be country, but I ain't stupid. There are things my wife hates, and because of my love for her, I want to avoid those things that bother her. I'm going somewhere this morning if the Lord will help me. How many of you love Jesus this morning? We sing that song, I love Jesus, he's my Savior. I love Jesus, yes I do. We sing that with our lips. If we love him like we say we love him, if he tells us, I mean in plain black and white English, that there's something he hates. In order to interest us enough to say, hey, woman, I need my prayers answered. I need the blessings of God. I need the favor of God. When I cry, oh, God, I want him to say, yes, here am I. Now, if there's something that he hates and would hinder our fellowship. Now, listen, when my wife is upset or mad, it's not good fellowship. Now, God is not like my wife. When I ask my wife what is wrong, and she says, nothing. And I have to guess. Say amen. God's not that way. I say, God, what's wrong? Why are my prayers hindered? Why are my blessings cut off? God, what's going on? And God said, well, if you got a minute, I'll tell you. If you'll open the word, I'll speak to you and I'll show you exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I found out in modern Christianity, nobody's, it's cold in here now, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't care if you got on a hoodie. Bump it up a couple of notches, guys. We go from one extreme to the other. I'm chilled up here and I see people sitting there going, this is I'd rather have you warm than cold. Amen. Crank it up, make them sweat. Amen. Lost my whole train of thought. I looked out there paying the ship. I don't want there to be a hindrance between me and God.
Amen.
When my wife is ill, don't be sick. I mean ill.
Right.
It's no fun.
Amen.
I love it when she's petting me and pampering me and telling me I'm the best husband in the world.
Yeah.
Telling me how good I look. What an awesome man I am. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Usually when she's mad, my first thought is, what did I do? I never even take consideration she's mad at somebody else. I just automatically, over 33 years, process of elimination, it's usually me.
Amen.
I've got a feeling that we're living in a time when people care less about their relationship with God. They're concerned about their appearance.
Yeah.
Help us. Right.
Amen. Of a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Right.
It would appear as we sit in church this morning that everybody is in good standings with the Lord. Of course we're in church. Of course we are. Some of the wickedest people I know are in church.
Yeah.
Are y'all okay? Heard about another preacher this week that I know. Got caught up, messed up with a woman. Standing? A man in the pulpit. We're not careful. We'll get caught up in the appearance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course I'm a Christian. I'm in church. I've got a King James Bible. I sing in the choir. I teach Sunday school class. I work in bus driving. There's six things that God hates. Seven are an abomination to it. Now listen, our tendency, I didn't even finish reading, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I'll ever get through this. Lord, please help me. He said, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And he gives us a little list here. He said, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. It's funny he mentioned lying twice. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. There is a tendency in our world to avoid the negative. Because of the modernistic preaching, everything about God is good and wonderful.
Yeah.
God loves you with all his heart. He does. God is love. But because he loves us, he's also a God of wrath. If all you do is love your children and shower gifts on your children and you never correct your children, they're going to turn out rotten.
Amen.
Am I right? Y'all stay with me. I need your mind. See, I told you, you cut me off at the very beginning. You went from, just like that. We're going to talk about what God hates.
Yeah.
We're conditioned to be possible. We cut it off because it starts out as negative as you can get. There's six things that God hates. Now we got these preachers that won't go there. God loves you and he just wants you to be happy. That's why God made you. God made you to give him glory. Somebody said, man, this thing I'm going through, it ain't fun. Life ain't always fun.
Right.
It ain't always happy, happy, happy.
Yeah.
Some of the most famous preachers in America, old Steve. Y'all okay? That purpose-driven life Rick Warren do. Everything's not Oreo good.
Right.
Everything they preach and teach is to make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
They never approach the negative. But yet God does. If I'm going to get to the positive, I better find out what pleases and what displeases God. Are we okay?
That's good.
If I'm going to have a right relationship with my wife, I've got to know what pleases her. And I've got to go out of my way to make that happen, but I've also got to know what displeases her, and I've got to go out of my way to make sure I avoid that. Somebody said, you've got it bad. I sure do. I've been married 33 years, so get you some of that. And I plan on being married 33 more. To her. Are y'all okay? But it's not a one-sided thing. She knows what displeases me.
That's right.
Yeah.
She will not, under no circumstances, ball me an egg.
Amen.
She won't do it. She won't hardly do it for herself if I'm in the house. Somebody said, you don't like bald eggs? I don't know. Smells like there's a gas leak. Got a very sensitive nose. I can't get past the smell. I like a scrambled egg. I don't like a boiled egg, she knows. She's not going to go home for lunch today and say, honey, I boiled you some eggs. Right? Why? We're interested in keeping the relationship open.
Yeah.
Let nothing stand between us. Some of you are wondering what's wrong with your physical relationships this morning. It's because of your spiritual relationship. The door cannot be open in my relationship with my wife if my door is not open with my relationship with God. Are we okay? I don't want to be mean this morning. You don't know how hard I've prayed. I called Brother Freddie on my way home from the airport and I said, you pray. I can't get away from this. I don't want to be a mean preacher. But I don't want to be a dishonest preacher. You don't want a dishonest doctor. Most famous preacher in America. I'll name him. I don't care. Somebody will get mad. I don't care about that either. Joel Osteen. He's a liar, a fake, and a fool. Somebody said he preaches wonderful message. I'll give you that. Yes, he does.
Yes.
The problem with Osteen is not in what he says. It's in what he don't say. He won't preach the whole counsel of God. He picks out the good parts. I'm not that kind of preacher. These guys who work with me and know me, they know this is not what I prefer. I hate giving people bad news. You want to know the truth, sometimes I just got to lay it out there. Yeah, but it's a negative. I know. But before we can get to positive, we got to deal with the negative. If I went to the doctor and he says, preacher, you got a tumor and it's cancer. But we have found it in time. Now we can do surgery and you can walk out of here cancer free, but it's just so negative. It's too invasive. Let's just let it grow 6 or 8 months and see what happens. That's the way preachers are dealing with sin.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The Bible says there is something that God hates. And if there's something that God hates, I want to know what that is. If there's something that God hates and it's standing between me and Him, I want to figure it out and get that thing out of the way. In verse number 16, we notice there is a loathing. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. These words bother us because they are opposite of how we've been taught to think about God. We are taught from 1 John chapter number 4, God is love. Is that a Bible truth? Come on, talk to me a little bit. You say, preacher, this is not normal Sunday morning. I know it. Sometimes we need to get past normal Sunday morning. Some of you won't come back on Sunday night or Wednesday night, so we're going to get this while we're
here.
God is love. But that's not the whole counsel of God. There's more to Him than that. If all God did was love me, that would show He didn't care very much for me. You see, there would be no need for an up if there wasn't a down. There'd be no need for an out if there wasn't an in. There'd be no need for a heaven if there wasn't a heaven. we skirt the issues and the truth of the Word of God, people will die and go to hell. I'm probably talking to somebody this morning. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and spend forever and ever and ever and ever in a place called hell. Why, preacher? Because there are things that God hates. And we can encompass them in one word, and that word is sin. What is sin? Anything that transgresses God's law? Hate. Pretty strong word. I looked it up. Hate is an emotional attitude toward persons or things which are opposed, detested, despised, and with which one wishes to have no contact or relationship. Hate is the polar opposite of love. Look at the last part of that definition. He said, with which one wishes to have no contact or relationship. That's what hate is. And I need contact with God. And I need relationship with God. Now, I love Brother Todd. That's my son-in-law. That's my grandbaby's daddy right there. Love him even more. I had that flu a few weeks ago, but it's hard. I saw Todd from my office get out of the car this morning. I walked out there, and the first thing I did was hug his neck. But he had that flu. Yeah. I'm going to count my distance. Why? I don't want no relationship with him. I don't want no part of that. Now, there's some things that we can allow in our lives as Christians, as lost people, that God says, I can't fellowship with that. I'm going to do my best to go through the rest of this quickly, but you got to understand something. God cannot fellowship with sin because he is holy. Now, if I have sin in my life, unconfessed sin, by the way, and I come to God without getting that clean, are you listening? Let's say Brother Fred is God. Just say. And Brother Freddie is holy. Perfectly spotless, sinless, holy. And I come to him full of every one of these things that God says he hates. In other words, I'm infected.
Yeah.
I have no holiness. So I bring my unholiness and try to fellowship with a holy God. And God says, no. Yeah. No. I can't do that. Now this sounds awful, doesn't it? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. All of us are sinners. This really gets them sideways when I preach up north. The Pope's a sinner.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, the Word of God's not true. Now God said there's six things that he hates, seven are abomination. That word abomination, I've got to give you all this groundwork. That word abomination is also a strong word. It is something, this is what dictionary said, which is loathed, that's a heavy word for hate, or which causes horror. An abomination. Those things which cause horror. That's almost like, whoa!
Yeah.
The Bible lists them. There's a pretty long list, but I'll give you a few if you want to know what they are. But if there's something that's an abomination to God, I don't want it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, if I'm not careful, I'll get in trouble right here. But he gives us a list throughout the Word of God. Most of them are in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Leviticus chapter number 18, Leviticus chapter number 20. God said that homosexuality is an abomination to him. I didn't say it. There are preachers all over America this morning that won't say it. I'm just repeating what God has said. He said, I can't fellowship with that. It's an abomination to me.
Yeah.
I had a young man tell me a while back. He said, "Preacher, I know that I'm gay. What should I do?" I said, "You need to pray for God to forgive you. Pray that God gets you through. And if he don't, you remain celibate the rest of your life." It's not popular. I've lost half the crowd this morning. And you claim to be saved. Idolatry, Deuteronomy chapter number 7. You know what idolatry is? It's anything you put above God. It's what you worship. You say, "Well, I don't have any idols at home." Really? Yeah. Some of you park them in the parking lot. Some of you take them to the lake on the weekend. Tell me we don't have idols. God puts them. Human sacrifice. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Eating unclean animals, Deuteronomy chapter 14. Sacrificing defective animals, Deuteronomy chapter 17. Engaging in the occult, Deuteronomy chapter number 18. You know what? You know what this world's doing? It's enticing our young people into occult practices, and they don't even know it. I've been stepped in, and I might as well go ahead. People are marking their bodies like it's a coloring book.
That's right.
Amen. God will watch. Piercing in abundance. It's mutilation. I had a kid tell me a while back, "I'm a cutter." Brother Chris, I thought he was talking about a cutting horse, you know, cutting cat. He said, "Man, I'm a cutter." I said, "Cool." He said, "Really?" He said, "I mean, I cut myself." I said, "Why?" He said, "It feels good." I could not be a diabetic. I would die. I could not give myself a shot. You know what that is? Those are all practices of the occult.
Right. Amen.
Remember the demonic man in Mark chapter number 5?
Right.
He was in the tomb, night and day, cutting himself.
That's right.
And stoning.
Good preaching, brother.
Good.
Probably we'll just leave some of this
alone.
Deuteronomy chapter number 25. It's an abomination to have dishonest demon business practice. I've seen more people get out of church over a money deal. I've told people for years, they talk about, "Preacher, we're going to go in business together." No! No! Why learn a good fellowship and a friendship with a dollar bill? I set a rule years ago. I know I got a lot of messages to get to, and it's 11:15, four exits west of me. We're close enough. I'm going by this morning. Roll Tide, baby. I made a rule in my life years ago. If somebody comes to me and says, "Can I borrow $50? No. "Well, have you got $50? "Yeah. "If I ain't, she does. "Can I borrow $50? "No, but I'll give it to you." "Well, I'm going to give it back." "Well, if you do, fine. If you don't, fine. Consider it a gift." "I don't loan my children money." Why? So if I don't have the spirit enough to give it to them, if I have it, that means I don't have spirit enough to forgive them if they don't give it back. Are we okay?
Amen.
I have a relationship with some of the men in this church. Brother Fred, he's not wealthy. But if he had it and I needed it, All I'd have to say is, brother, I need some help. He'd give it to me.
Yeah.
He'd probably give it to me if he didn't have it.
Yeah.
He'd do. He'd walk away from his own needs to meet mine. And I know in my heart I wouldn't ever have to worry about giving it back. And he knows the same thing to me. What is that? It's a protection. We're not going to let money come between us. Brother Chris is one of my best friends. If I needed money, he wouldn't. He's tight. I'd give it to him. I'm trying to lighten this up just a little bit. Ritual prostitution, 1 Kings chapter number 14. I mean, we'll just go on and on. I don't want to do anything that's an abomination to God. There's a thing that he loathes. There's a thing that he loathes. I can't hardly say that word. But then he goes on. He says there's things I hate. He said, matter of fact, not only am I going to tell you what I loathe, I'm going to give you a list.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't like it when the list comes out. Yeah. Talk about sin, preacher. Preach about sin. Talk about the condemnation of sin. Just don't name it. We name sin and we're mean-spirited. We name sin and we're fanatical. If you don't know what your sin is, how can you be sorry for it? I look at my wife and say, she's mad, and I say, honey, I'm sorry. For what? I don't know. You ever had your wife look at you and say, you know exactly what's wrong? Come on, you bunch of cowards. You know exactly what's wrong. And in your heart, you really don't. Now, if you're honest, you know that it could be this, 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 this.
Yeah.
But you don't want to admit to the one that it's not it today. Somebody help me. Honey, how can I know what you're mad about unless you tell me? Now, wouldn't it be unfair of God if he said, there's some things I hate?
That's right.
Period. Oh, what is it?
Yeah.
Amen. I hope it ain't fishing. I hope it ain't riding horses. I don't know what God hates. I don't want to be sideways with God. I don't want my fellowship cut off with God. I don't know what I can and can't do. That'd be unfair.
That's right. That's good.
Just like it would be if you and your children. Most of you have a job when you go to work. Whether you admit it or not, you know what's expected.
Yes.
That's right.
God loves us and he's fair enough to tell you there's some things that I love. There's some things that I hate. There's some things that are abomination. And I'm going to tell you what they are.
Right.
How about that? He don't just tell us what makes him mad. He tells us what they are in things. What are they? A proud look. Right. You say, well, that's not me. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what a proud look is? It's thinking more of yourself than you ought to.
Yeah.
It's thinking of yourself before you think about other people.
Yeah.
There's no way a dad can walk away from his children without thinking of himself first. There's no way a mama can walk out on a marriage without thinking of herself first. What is that? It's pride. Me, 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 me. That's why they're flocking to this modern day religion. It's all about self. It's all about image. It's all about, I cannot stand churches and I preach in them where people think they're better than people out there. If you're in here and you've got a judgmental spirit and you're looking down on other people, it's because you're thinking too much of yourself. I had a pastor tell me one time, we just can't have a bus ministry in our church. I said, why? He said, we don't want those kind of people. Glad Jesus don't have that attitude. Somebody actually said to me in this building, standing right here, I'm sorry, I'm going right here, right here in this building after church on a Sunday morning, we started talking about our RU program starting it. That's an addictions program. And here's what the person said to me. Now, Pastor, I understand that's a good thing, but do we really want those people in our church? I said, I'm not starting it for them. I'm starting for you.
Amen.
That's good.
Got quiet.
Yes.
The Bible still said pride goeth before destruction. When a life is destroyed, nearly every time pride came for you.
Amen.
You got my watch. Proud look, he's giving you a list. A lying tongue. Did you know, Brother Fred, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but the Bible has more to say about the tongue than it does liquor.
Amen.
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 10 times more.
Amen.
Amen.
It ain't stuff that gets me in trouble. It's what I say that gets me in trouble.
Amen.
Now we're living in the modern day of, the social media. You don't even got to say it. It makes it so easy. I know people who have made up fake social media accounts just so they can run their
mouth.
You ain't got guts enough to sign your name,
dude.
Oh, I'm trying. I told Brother Charles, pray for me that I have the right spirit this morning. There's some things that God hates. There's some things that I hate.
Amen.
I hate that stuff where people get on the internet and backbite and lie about each other.
Amen.
I walked in on a conversation this morning between Brother Stacy and Kyle. All I heard, I didn't know what was said before. I just heard Kyle say, anytime you need somewhere to stay, my house is wide open. I got an extra room. I didn't know what they was talking about. And I said, hey, boys, there's a lot of people that have heard what you just said that went out here and went, pray for Stacy and Lisa. Their marriage is just about over. I hear Stacy's moving in with God. You know what you are? You're alive. Strong word, isn't it? I could say, you're just saying something because you don't know the facts. No, you're lying. Sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut. So I was just playing the devil's advocate. I jumped into my conversation. And they just busted out laughing. And I thought, that's exactly what happened right here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God hates it.
Amen.
When we lie.
Amen.
Did you know that is breaking one of God's 10 commandments?
Yes, sir.
Now, I've got a confession to make to you. And it's going to shock you. I'm a liar.
Yeah. 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 Amen.
So what makes you a liar? Lying.
Yep.
Some people look at you and say, I have you know I do not lie. And just keep it. We call them white lies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the black lies. Does he lie? It's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, God hates it. Talking about that pride, that proud look. There was a servant back in the medieval days that said this about his master. I left this out a while ago, but I want you to hear it. His master was a very prideful man, and the servant said about him, he said, if his master went to a christening, he wanted to be the baby. If he went to a wedding, he wanted to be the bride. If he went to a funeral, he wanted to be the corpse. In other words, he always had to be the center of attention. Pride. Wow. A lying tongue. A lying tongue. God hates lying.
Amen. Amen.
not to lie. Don't speak.
Amen.
There are times when you need to study what the scripture said and be quiet.
Right.
You do not have to have an opinion about everything. You do not have to respond to every post.
Amen.
Some people are dumb enough to believe everything they see.
Sure.
In the
sure.
I was studying for a sermon one time, and I got the nastiest letter in the mail. I studied some facts on Wikipedia. Is that how? Wikipedia? I thought that was like an encyclopedia. It's just junk people put on it. I didn't know it. I took it for fact. I preached it. And you know what? I studied further. I was wrong. Because it was a lie.
Right.
It wasn't true. You don't get a fact straight before you speak. And sometimes, even though we know the fact, we still want to keep our mouths shut. Have y'all heard all that talk on television and radio about the fake news? Fake news. I think it's always been fake. A proud look and a lying tongue. How many of you are guilty of those two?
Yeah.
And most of you say, I'm not guilty of this one. What about hands that shed innocent blood? It got quiet, didn't it? That's murder. How about this room? So I ain't never killed nobody. Well, sure, that's all about that. There are politicians who run their entire campaign on shedding innocent blood.
Oh, yeah.
There was a man in our church, and I love him with all of my heart. He didn't leave mad. They moved to another state. His daughter was in college. She got involved with a young man from the Middle East who was a Muslim. He was here on student visa. She became pregnant. They were celebrating a happy day. He found out from the sonogram she was having a little girl. And he stomped her in her bed. He killed that child because he was a girl.
That's right.
You know what that is? It's mine. It's murder. Most people standing in this room would never pick up a child and rip his head from the shelf. But legally, they do it in doctor's offices every day. You say, what if it's already happened to me? God forgive you. And you know what I'm saying is true.
Right.
Or it wouldn't have bothered you and caused you to be in depression like that. Doesn't make you a bad or worse person than anybody else. One sin is no greater than the other.
Right.
Just tell me God hates it.
Yeah.
We think of murder, we think about blood and guts. You can kill people in a lot of other ways.
Yeah.
I know some women who are just emotionally void because some overbearing male chauvinist jerk has mentally abused them and sucked the life. What kind of life and relationship am I going to have in my life if all I do is tell her how fat she is?
Come on, amen.
You talk to your wife like that, you're in spite.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You talk to my wife like that, you'll get spite.
Amen.
People kill the lives and the spirit of their own children.
Right.
Proud look. Guilty. Lying tongue. Guilty. Hands that shed innocent blood. Let's move on. I got to read. Hearts that deviseth wicked imagination. This refers to hate that's always plotting evil. I know people who live their lives for the sole purpose they get off on hurting somebody else. That's their thing. That's what they do. They lay awake at night thinking, "Oh, I want to get them." God hates it. It's evil and it's wicked. If you'll be honest, it's been done to you. And if I'm honest, it's been done to me. I know y'all won't believe this. There's people out there that hate my guts. They're honest before the Lord. I never did anything to them.
Amen.
And they hate me. And every chance they get, they'll take every shot they can.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, I don't have to avenge myself. I don't have to get on the internet and say, "Well, that's God." I got to do that. I don't have to. It's God, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
I mess up, I can get right with God.
Amen.
God will take care of me.
Amen.
There were some kids come running out of the woods one day and called the preacher a bald head man. Making fun of his bald head.
Yeah.
So the preacher killed him. No, God just had a parrot come out of me.
That's right.
Yeah. Sure did.
I'd rather have a bald head than be digested by a parrot. I was trying to think of a nice way to say it. God can't stand that. When you live your life to hurt, to punish somebody else. Oh, man. We all got evil thoughts from time to time.
Yeah.
There's sometimes, man, I want vengeance so bad. People say, "I want you to know I don't get mad at you either." Wrong attitude. What if God had that attitude with you?
Right.
I hate a proud look and a lying tongue, and I will get you far. That's not God's attitude. That's not what I'm preaching.
Right.
I'm just telling you some things God hates that He laid out for us right here in His Bible. Feet swift and running to mischief.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. Someone said this, and I've got it down. The heart that blazes the trail, the feet. The heart that blazes the trail, your feet will follow. You said, "Wait a minute now. All I did was think. You dwell there too long?
Yeah.
Right.
You good. You'll do it. Are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. I can't get away from this stuff, and the Bible won't go away from this stuff. You lay in your bed and lust about somebody else's spouse long enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're like them. You play your little Twitter games and your Instagram and all that junk long enough. You will act.
Amen.
Your feet will follow the trail in the heart blood. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Maybe I'll preach sweet tonight. Said something about a false witness speaking lies. There he is again. About that tongue. God says some things He hates, and He's kind enough to give them to you. Let me just give you this one. I got to quit. I'm leaving a bunch out. He says six things He hates and seven are abominations to Him. That last thing.
Yes,
says He that soweth discord.
Amen.
Right. Among the
brothers.
God hates it. Discord. What is that? Division. God hates it. Here's discord. Brother Freddie and Brother Clint are friends. Would you give me that? Say
yeah.
They're close. Been close for years and years and years. Clint does something to offend me. Now, our relationship's messed up because I got bitterness in my heart and I won't forgive Clint. Should that affect their relationship?
No.
Now, Clint loves me. Brother Freddie loves me. Now, here I am. I have an option. I can forgive Clint and get her off the job. But here's what normally happens. I need somebody else on my side.
Yeah.
I need somebody to agree with what I know in my heart's with me. So I go to Brother Freddie. Brother Freddie, you ain't gonna believe what Clint did. Now, whether Brother Freddie admits it or not, I've already put it in his head. Now, he can't see his friend who he's had a close relationship for years without thinking, I can't believe what you did to the preacher. You know what that is? That's discord. What I'm telling Brother Freddie may be the God's honest truth. I'm not talking about stretching it. I'm talking about telling him just like it may be true, but I feel a relationship with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, good. And Brother Freddie goes and says, Brother Josh, I want you to pray about something.
Yeah.
Oh, what? That's wicked.
Yeah.
I want you to pray about something. Now, I know I shouldn't say anything. If you ever make that statement, you didn't keep your mouth shut.
That's right.
But you're not going to believe what Brother Clint did. Now, I know this because Brother Freddie said, Wait a minute. He doesn't stop that. This is how churches split. Brother Clint is on the bus with Brother John. They ain't on the same bus, but listen, Brother Clint's on the bus with Brother John. And Brother Clint says, Brother John, you ain't going to believe what Brother Jesus came up with. And he's spreading all over church what I've done to him. I'm innocent of that. Now there's two sides.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Oh, that's good.
And Brother John goes and says, Jeremy, you ain't believe what Brother Eddie's spreading about Brother Clint. And it ain't true. Does he know that?
No.
No. I've told Brother Freddie what Clint did to me. And he says, is it true? He don't know. And he's bigger. And it's bigger.
And
it's
right.
Bigger.
Amen.
In a place where God wants people to be saved, marriages to be salvaged,
Amen.
Kids to learn about the love of God and Amen. The grace of God. All that is hindered.
Right.
Amen.
Because instead of thinking about what God wants, all we think about is what so and so should
be.
Amen.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
There's some degree of discord in every church. If not in the world. But God said flat out, I hate it. Furthermore, it's an abomination to me. So in this group, you say, well, I've never done that. Really? If you had examined your heart this morning, you have. I've done it not even knowing I was doing it. You ever shot your mouth off about something when you knew you shouldn't? Just because you have an opinion on a matter that you mean everybody needs to hear? 6 things. The Lord said, I hate it. I hate it. Well, God, if you hate it, I don't want to do it. By your grace and by your mercy, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. Some of you can't help yourself when you're sowing discord. It's who you are. But I'm glad our God's bigger than that.
Yeah.
Now listen, I'm Brother Todd, if y'all come, Miss Janice, Bibba, maybe y'all sing a song this morning. I've got good news. All that's negative. But every sin I named this morning that God hates, our choir sings it best. There is a reason.
Yeah.
Jesus died for every one of those sins. Every one of them can get under the blood this morning. Lying, 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 a lying tongue, a prideful look, shedding innocent blood, running swift to mischief. Every bit of that sowing discord, God can forgive, God has forgiven, and God will forgive this morning. Get it under the blood.
Praise.
There's no telling how many times in 33 years I've went repentant to my wife and she's forgiven me. There's been a few times she's come to me. Honey, I'm so sorry. And I've forgiven her. Forgiving don't mean I'm going to rub it in your face 6 weeks later. Therefore, our relationship is intact. How's your relationship with God this morning? There are a lot more sins in the Bible. But God just laid us out a list and says, I hate it. I abhor it. I loathe it. I despise it. It makes me sick. It's an abomination. It's horrific to me. I don't want to be guilty of that. But yet I have been. Thank God for Jesus. You see, it's that little sin, as small as lying, that separates between me and my God. Somebody said, well, I've never sinned. You don't go to hell because you're bad. You go to hell because of sin. Have you ever lied? You've broken one of God's law. It's not sinning. Thank God there is something other than sin between me and God. And that something is Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And what's he there for? To cover up that sin that God can have fellowship with me. Let's stand our feet this morning.